Beloved, last week, Sunday morning, we preached with God's help from Luke 18, verse 1, when it was taught each of us, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And if you recall, if you can think back, we laid out the context for why Jesus said what he said there. And of course, if you recall, chapter 17 of Luke is dealing with his second coming, the last part of that chapter. And as a result, he's teaching his children, his church, to persevere. It's interesting to note that Jesus has the same message in chapter 24 of Matthew. Luke 17 deals with his second coming, but so does Matthew 24 and 25. And what really is most important in our lives? We've all heard the message of death again. And for some, that has occurred more often than others in terms of hearing about someone dying that's dear and near. What do you think the Lord is trying to teach us, young people, children, congregation, visitors, guests in our midst, for which we're very glad and thankful? Isn't the Lord aiming to teach us that this is not our place of eternal existence? That death is going to occur? That a final judgment will be realized when Christ returns? And yes, then the earth will be purged of all sin. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth on which the redeemed shall live, dwell, worship, and glorify a triune God. But until that time, for so many years, each of us have had the opportunity to hear the word, to respond to it. Each of us have had brought to our ears and within our families the reality of death, the message of death. Why did Christ come? To not only purchase salvation for sinners. Why did he ascend to the right hand of the Father? To impart that same salvation for sinners. So that sinners saved by grace would be ready to meet the Lord when he comes. When death approaches. Ready. When he comes with his second appearing. You see, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit does so much with your soul and mine. And what's our response? What's the response from the preaching by God's servant who's been sent to labor among you? By the many visiting pastors. What's your response? ...1897... was a very, very important year for the entire world. 1897. Why? That was the year in which there was a global network established regarding seismic measuring. You probably wonder where I'm going with this. But if you think back of what we read tonight, Matthew 24, the entire chapter, it not only deals with Jesus telling his disciples about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, but Jesus doesn't confine his teaching to that period of time. He moves his disciples, as well as all of us, through to the reality and the truth of his second coming. And in the process, He tells his disciples about many different things that will occur in order for them to realize he's coming back. In 1897, there was a global network established whereby the seismic waves and tremors under the earth began to be monitored worldwide. And I trust all of us are in tune with the fact that in recent years, there's more earthquakes than there have been in past years. In fact, you may have responded by saying, wow, it's really happening a lot more frequently. Last week, Dominican Republic had an earthquake right next to Haiti. Do you know that since the measuring of earthquakes, if you take several periods from 1860, 1896, or whatever time I said, 1897, through to 1900, there were 12 earthquakes in the world, 12 that were measured. There's all little tremors and things, and they can measure those too, but these are the major earthquakes. And then from 1901 to 1938, a period of 38 years, there were 53 earthquakes. And these earthquakes are the ones that they measured that were over 7.0 on the Richter scale. And then from 1939 to 1976, another 38-year period, there were 71 earthquakes. 71 earthquakes. Do you know that between 1986 and 1996, 11 years, there were 15 earthquakes. 15 earthquakes that measured 7.0 or beyond on the Richter scale. And do you know that from 1997 to 2007, there's been 99 earthquakes? It went from 15 between 1986 and 1996 to 99 in 1997 and 2007, 11 years, a six-fold increase. Jesus is telling his disciples, and he's telling you and me, that we need to be looking at the signs of the times. We need to be realizing that the Lord is going to come back, and it's sooner than later. The end is coming. And it's interesting to note in Matthew 24 that when Jesus says here, all these are the beginning of sorrows, he has reference to a woman carrying a child with the word sorrows. And particularly at the time when they come to birth pangs or birth pains, when the baby is going to be delivered, the contractions may be very light. The earthquakes have not been so many years ago. But as the baby is preparing to move through the birth canal, the contractions become greater and more frequent. And Jesus is saying, that's what it's going to be like just before I come back. The earthquakes are going to be more frequent. The famines are going to be more realized. Pestilence and diseases will be something that man will see and not be able to handle nor resolve. The different outbreaks, cholera in Haiti, in Florida, one case this week from someone that came back from Haiti. Now cholera is in a prison in Port-au-Prince. Many have died there. I don't know if you read the news, but it was said that even in Haiti, in Port-au-Prince, they were picking up bodies with trash trucks to dispose of them. Pestilence, famines, earthquakes. And these statistics tell us great truths. From 1997, we gave you 19, I'm sorry, we gave you 1997 to 2007, there were 99 earthquakes. If you take 1977 to 2010, September 2010, there were 156 earthquakes. So in the 30-year period that I gave you of the four different periods, it started with 12, then 53, then 71, and then within the last 38 years, 156 earthquakes. Now, it doesn't take much to figure this out. You can just type in Google frequency of earthquakes around the world. And I would encourage you to do that because it gives you a whole graph that shows you that in earlier times, the graph was more on level and then it starts to move upward. And all of a sudden, since I believe 1976, it skyrockets. Thereby telling us that the Lord is going to come back. And tonight, beloved congregation, we want to bring to you how Jesus will teach us visually, from trees in nature about His coming back and that His word will not fail. His word is not failing about earthquakes in diverse places and their frequency. But Jesus is also telling, my word will not fail regarding my coming back. So let's look at those verses that were in the bulletin, 32 through 35. Matthew 24, 32 through 35. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. When you see all those different things that he lists in earlier in the chapter, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, know that my time to come is very near. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Our theme drawn from these verses is lessons from the fig tree. I want to look at two thoughts. First, Jesus is applying a truth. And secondly, Jesus is affirming a truth. Jesus is applying a truth. And secondly, Jesus is affirming a truth, or lessons from the fig tree, to apply a truth, to affirm a truth. Well, the context in short, has the disciples in verse 1, showing their pride regarding the city of Jerusalem. That magnificent Jerusalem that the Lord Himself has built. And they're very proud of it. If you look at the first verse, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. They were full of pride. A Jew today still has pride in Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, Jesus pops their bubble. What does He do? And Jesus said to them, see, you know, all these things. Look at all these things that you're talking about. That there's a level of pride within your hearts about. Because these buildings are so beautiful and magnificent. Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That just shattered their estimation of Jerusalem. And yet, it also confused them. Confused them to such a point that later on when they were together with Jesus, as you read in verse 3, they decided to bring to Him their three questions. And you can see those three questions in verse 3. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Now remember, there's two things happening in chapter 24. Jesus is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD when the Romans came in. He tells about how terrible it will be. If you want to read something about it, you can read the history of Josephus, which gives a fairly accurate explanation on how horrible it was. You've studied, I trust, in church history in school, going through the books, the little books in school. So you probably have a feel of how horrible it was. And that, of course, puts these questions to Jesus. Tell us, when shall these things be? The second question, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? And third, and of the end of the world? So even the disciples were grappling at that moment with the fact that Jesus isn't just talking about Jerusalem's destruction, but he's also teaching them about his second coming. And then, of course, he works through all the different things that we've read together. He tells about false prophets coming. He tells about wars and rumors of wars, tensions among nations, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, persecutions, betrayal, lack of love, breakdown of relationships, great tribulations. All these things are happening right now. And we would be wise to take heed. All these things are happening right now. There's false teachers, there's wars, there's tensions among nations. There's famines, there's pestilence, there's earthquakes, increasing in number. There's persecutions, there's betrayal, there's lack of love, there's breakdown of relationships. There's great tribulations. And in the process, the gospel continues to be preached. I went on the internet and I just plugged in how many nations have received the gospel to date. And it was estimated about 236 nations have received the gospel. Several haven't. They mentioned Somalia, Afghanistan, and North Korea. Those three. Even though it may be done secretly, it's not out in the open. Now, that doesn't mean that that's the nations that will comprise and make up the total number as to who the gospel come to. But those particular nations, those three in particular, have shown resistance to China too. And yet, there's still the gospel going out to China. Just Google that. It's interesting to see what's what. And so you see, the gospel, despite all the opposition, still goes on. The gospel is something that you as a Haiti team are duty-bound to bring to those people, Lord willing, when you arrive there. Use wisdom, pray much, talk with whoever you can. You may meet people that can only speak Creole and you can only speak English. But I guarantee you, the more people you talk with, you'll find out that there are those that know English. And so take every opportunity and then use those opportunities to talk together with those people and listen to what they have to say. Some of them will mention how precious the Lord Jesus is to them, how precious and how necessary he is for the nation of Haiti. People you least expect, guards with guns, they'll mention the nation needs the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to be delivered by voodoo. It was shared with us as a team. The gospel is something that you are bound to bring to those people, to live it when you're there by God's grace. Because you see, you may be the means whereby the kingdom of God's grace is advanced when you're on that work. And the word of God is being fulfilled by your work. But then what is Jesus really saying now when he says, now learn a parable of the fig tree? First of all, the word now here is time, a time factor. Now, not tomorrow, not a week from now. But now learn a parable of the fig tree. You know, scriptures teach us to live by faith, children of God, don't they? But Jesus also understood the human mind. And he realized, as statistics prove, that we remember more that we see visually than what we hear audibly. Or, boys and girls, very simply, we remember what we see with our eyes more than what we hear with our ears. And so Jesus takes into account that human factor, that weakness that we have. And he uses this illustration of the parable of the fig tree. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Now Jesus here in Matthew 24 uses the name for the tree, fig tree. But in Luke 21 verse 9, he says, "Behold the fig tree and all the trees." So we have to compare Scripture with Scripture. Jesus is not only addressing the disciples and saying, look at the fig tree, but he's saying, take a look at all the trees that have been placed on the earth. And then, of course, in Mark, it says the same thing. It speaks about the fig tree. In Luke, it speaks about trees. How great and gracious the Lord Jesus Christ is in this parable. Because he realizes not only human weakness, but he recognizes that the eyes have a strength that the ears may not have. And so he says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. And what really is the illustration? What is Jesus trying to say here? Well, Jesus is really referencing to the four seasons. Look at the four seasons. We have just seen the beauty of the leaves turning color. The rain has stripped a lot of the trees of their leaves. The wind has done the same within the last few weeks. And if you watch the whole cycle, not only do the falling of the leaves in fall tell us about death approaching, but the winter months, when all is bare and nothing grows, tells us about the reality of death. And that nothing is going to grow in nature out in the environment where it's cold. And then Jesus is saying, now let's move through to the spring. And he teaches this lesson of the parable. And how anxious we are. And how many times maybe you have looked at those trees on your property, a fruit tree or just a maple tree. And you have seen how the buds begin to swell. And then you've witnessed how the leaves have begun to unravel. And you've had the joy of preparing and planting a garden and waiting for the little seed to sprout. And you see the green come through the ground, which speaks of life. And then, of course, you've been anxious where you may have had fruit trees for the fruit to develop. And you can't wait. What Jesus is teaching visually is as the seasons come and go, learn a lesson. Now, there's no one here that has to say, I don't get it. You see the depths the level that Jesus would come to for us to grasp that he's going to come back. As you see the process in nature of spring, summer when fruit comes on the trees, in the fall when the leaves are dropped, and the winter when the deadness is there, and the seasons come and go. When his branch is yet tender, that's the springtime, and put forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. You know the next season is going to be summer. You see that development. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things. What things? What things? False teachers. There's many today. What things? Wars. What things? Tensions among nations. What things? Famines, pestilence, earthquakes, persecutions, betrayal, lack of love, breakdown of relationships, great tribulations. We're seeing all those things. We're really living in a time of economic chaos. You know, you listen to, you read the business report, you know, it seems like the stock markets go up a little bit and then they go down. And there's a little hype because it gets a little better. And then it drops again. And there's all this hope that the economy is going to get strengthened. But in the meantime, nations are meeting because of crises. Ireland needs bailout, just like other nations have needed it recently. Economic chaos. When we see all these things happening, Jesus is saying, as the seasons come and go, as you see these events going on in the world, what? Know that it, and in the margin, in my Bible at least, it says, He. Know that He is near, even at the doors. Christ is so close with His return. Men ought always to pray. The church needs to persevere. Those who are yet unbelievers need to be asking, to be seeking, to be knocking. Because the Lord promises, when ye seek for me, ye shall find me. When ye seek for me with all your heart. And so as He visually teaches us via this parable, so He moves into verse 34 where He says, Verily I say unto you. That word verily there literally means it shall truly and certainly be as you have seen the seasons in process come and go. As you have witnessed with your eyes the budding of the blossom, the opening up of the leaves, the flowers on the trees, the fruit coming. As you've seen the leaves drop in the fall. As you've noticed the barrenness of the trees. Well, on the way here this morning, I made a comment in the car that, boy, it's awful barren. And one of the children said, but Dad, remember Alberta. That's a little bit more barren. But when you take a look at the landscape here, there's a certain amount of beauty that's gone. The colorful leaves of the fall are not there anymore. The trees are bare. There's this grayness. Let's hear what the Lord is saying to us. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. What's Jesus referring to there? This generation shall not pass. Well, there's many different explanations given of that. But the majority of conservative exegeters, those that delve into the scriptures, will say it refers to the fact that the Jewish nation will never, ever be destroyed. This generation, remember, they were living in Jerusalem. They were Jews. Jesus is saying the existence of the Jews will continue. They will never, ever be destroyed. And how many nations, even presently, Iran, speaks against Israel as a nation that needs to be removed from the world? It will never happen. Look at the different wars that Israel has fought. Yes, more recently, they've had more challenges. But as God's covenant people, they've come out of those challenges as His people still. Even those 6 million Jews were put to death because Hitler tried to get rid of that nation. He was not successful. The Lord's word will not fail. And what's Jesus trying to say here? As the Jewish nation will continue and never become extinct until time is wrapped up in eternity. So, my return is certain. Just look at the trees in their process. But remember, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not. So, beloved congregation, Jesus not only wants to apply a truth about His second coming, but He also affirms that same truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away. My words. What a mercy that Jesus teaches us visually. But what a greater mercy that He teaches us by His Word. You know why? Turn with me to 2 Peter 3, I believe it is. Let me just get there. Two Peter 1, verse 19. Because you know, the verses before verse 19 was talking about Peter and the others who were on the Mount of Transfiguration. They visually saw something. They beheld the glory of the Lord there. And Peter was so moved that he wanted to build three tabernacles, didn't he? But now notice what it says. They're taught visually. They see what's occurring on the Mount of Transfiguration. But then in verse 19 it says, because look at 18 even says, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." That's the Mount of Transfiguration. But now what does Peter say by inspiration? "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." We have seen these things visually. Jesus has taught us by means of the parable of the fig tree tonight, a visual lesson. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the word of God which will stand. Heaven and earth shall pass away. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. And then notice what it says. "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." The word of God is shining as a light in a dark world, in a dark place, in the church tonight, under your pastor's ministry, and those who bring the word to you. The visual is a mercy, but the word of God is the greatest of all mercies. Not that we make light of the visual, but Jesus wants to move us from the visual to the eternal word that never changes. And what a comfort. What a comfort that is for the children of God. When Jesus says in verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away." Why? What are the words of Jesus to His church? "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." What are the words of Christ to His church? "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." What are the words of Christ to the church? "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." What are the words of the Lord Jesus to His church? "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." They are words of more sure prophecy. But what does He say to you who are not yet at this moment a living, a spiritual living member of the church? What does He say to you? You know, I went home this morning. Pastors fail. Because I read Proverbs 1 at the lunch table as we ended with that. When I got finished, I realized I should have read the last verse. "But whoso hearkeneth unto Me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." I think that's what it says. And I thought I should have read that to maintain the balance, yet it did not come to my mind at that particular time. But what is it saying to you, to whom Jesus is, to whom the Lord said this morning, "I have called and you refused. I have stretched out My hand and no man regarded." What does He say to you? "But whoso hearkeneth unto Me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." that word of the Lord will not change either. As God provides His children with rich encouragements and promises from which they can derive strength to hold fast and endure unto the end, so the Lord meets sinners. Yes, with the reality of His just judgment, if they reject His callings, if they refuse to hear Him. But tonight He comes to you and says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil, so that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, as we may be in Christ, He will remove all fear." The church shall not perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of His hands. And oh, what Jesus aims to emphasize with the lesson from the fig tree. Look at nature as you see it with your eyes in the whole process. Realize heaven and earth will pass away. Turn with me to 2 Peter 3. Turn with me to 2 Peter 3. We need find that truth so clearly spelled out, don't we? And it's told us exactly how it will happen. 2 Peter 3, verse 10, 11, and 12. What do we read here? 2 Peter 3, verse 10, 11, and 12. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." You see what the Lord is saying? "I'm coming back. To those of you who are still enemies of Christ tonight, He tells you, repent and believe the gospel. You are made aware of the fact from the Scriptures, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You are told from the Scriptures, as the Lord is saying it to you now, come now." Notice how it began tonight. Now learn a parable. Learn it now, tonight. And when the Lord says in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He says it, "Come now." And what follows after all that He has said? "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword." And then He underscores what He says. "For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." The Lord has spoken, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He has said, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But He has also said, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." A simple lesson tonight, I trust. That was the aim of Jesus' ministry, simplicity. That should be the aim of any pastor. Even though different subjects, indeed, will be of different levels. Yet here's the simple teaching of Jesus to His disciples, to you and me as congregation. "I'm coming back." When it's light tomorrow morning, boys and girls, and we may be spared, and you may get on the bus, and you head on the way to Timothy Christian, or wherever you may attend school, look at those trees around you. There may be a few that yet have leaves, a few yellow ones, but they're basically stripped bare. And then think back during the summer when the foliage was so green and showed so much life. And think forward to the winter when all seems dead. And then think about the spring, when you anxiously may have gone out there with Dad and turned the soil over and planted some seeds and watched the blade come up. And then you shared in the fruits. A few weeks ago, we dug all the potatoes out in our place. And it was a wonderful event to see them. But the Lord's saying, as all those things occur, remember, I'm coming back. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What I have said, what Jesus has said to us over the last four sermons about prayer, about His coming back, will be realized by all of us. Those of you not ready, make haste. He's coming. He's coming soon. He's coming quickly. Verse 44 of Matthew 24 says, "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And in the Greek, it's in the present tense. It literally says, "In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man is coming." He's on His way. And the earthquakes. And the multiplication of those earthquakes, sixfold, is just an indication. And all around us, may we be spurred on, children of God, to pray for Spirit-worked revival in the congregation, in the world, in Haiti, wherever our everyday responsibilities may carry us. May we pray for the lost in the midst of the congregation. Because death can come so unexpectedly. This is both, I hope I pronounce it properly, slept away from what I understand. Am I right? Okay, heart attack. But she's passed away. And my turn and your turn will come. Jesus said, everything else will change. Seasons come and go. But my word, seek ye the Lord, and ye shall live. Amen. O God and gracious Father, we pray that the lessons from Thy word tonight may not escape us, may not be disregarded. Thou hast called, Thou hast invited, Thou hast assured that if we come now with all our sins, Thou wilt pardon. Oh, may Thy Spirit work revival. May Thy children be stirred up and spurred on to more fervent prayer for the conversion of sinners, but also for Thy sustaining grace for Thy church as the challenges get greater and will get greater. When times of persecution may be in the valley here, may we hold fast to the word, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And may we remember that it is but a tribulation of 10 days. And Thou wilt hear the cry of the elect day and night. And though Thy coming will be according to Thine own sovereign time, may Thy church be living more with the prayer upon their lips as the Scriptures ended, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." O Lord, have mercy upon us and bless us. Save the lost. Bless Thy people. Go with us into the week we have entered. Provide for us as fathers. Give us strength and all we need to carry out our responsibilities, to guide our families in the way of the Scriptures. And grant that we might live with a sense that Thou art coming. The earthquakes are telling it too. Thou hast said, be ready. And so, Lord, may we make preparation. Bring us to our homes in due time. Bless the singing that the congregation may do, those that stay behind. Provide in every way. And remember again the Haiti team, the second team that goes out. Bless them. Go before them, with them, and behind them. Be their God, their guide. And bring them safely back in due time. Hear and answer our prayer. Pardon our many sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.